Welcome to Q&A, the podcast series for the Kaddish Gallery at St. Ambrose University in Davenport, Iowa. Recently, we sat down with Madeline Turner to discuss her exhibition currently up in the gallery called Tending to My Flesh. We had a wide-ranging discussion touching on issues surrounding our conceptions of our bodies, talking about French postmodern philosophy like Deleuze and Guattari, talking about painting technique, talking about the professional track for up-and-coming artists. It was a great conversation, and we were lucky to have Madeline in the space in front of her work. It was a pleasure. Thank you, Madeline. Please enjoy this discussion with Madeline Turner. Why don't we start with your statement?
Sure.
Some of the phrases from your statement, I thought we could maybe dig into that and see where it goes. So I really like this first sentence here. I've realized that the process of painting is more important to me than the outcome. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what that means to you, why you say such a thing?
Yeah, of course. So with my experience with painting, I have come from like many different backgrounds. I started with a more naturalistic way of painting, and I just felt like it was kind of stagnant for me. And as I started getting into abstraction a little more, I've realized that just focusing on letting these emotions and the automatic process of painting come out while I'm working is a lot more gratifying, especially in the end product, because I feel as if when you look at my paintings, you can kind of see each step of the painting, like the addition, the excavation, the deletion, sometimes the ghost images. And I feel when those come through, it's really more of an affective experience for the viewer. You're able to kind of feel the emotions in the tones of the painting.
So when you say it's a white canvas,
mm-hmm.
You start with a feeling. You start with an image. You start with just a mark. What do you do?
Yeah, so I like to start with an automatic process. And if anyone isn't familiar with an automatic process, basically what that is I will decide on a color to use. Sometimes that is planned. Like if I'm interested in a more putrid color or like a bodily color, I will get that color out, like a dried blood type of red, or like a sickly yellow. And then I will just go in with a paintbrush and start making marks all over the canvas, whether that just be washes of the paint or direct line quality marks. And then I kind of stand back and see what I can find from those marks. And I'll just kind of start defining them a little bit, but I never define them too far, just because I like the fleeting element of seeing figures, but then the figures turn into something else.
So it sounds like there's some initial, through the choice of color at least, there's something that you want to get at in particular in that painting.
Yeah. So the things that are kind of fueling the work are really the relationship with my body that I have, and kind of like this desire to dissect the body and kind of, you know, flay the skin open and poke around in there mindfully and just try to really understand how I'm feeling, you know, subconsciously about my body, and just trying to kind of rebuild the relationship to it.
That's a pretty loaded statement.
Yeah.
let's dig into that a little bit if you're comfortable with it. You want to rebuild a relationship with your body by flaying it open and poking around and seeing how it works.
Like, yes.
I think that's a poetic statement, right? Not a literal one, but
yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yes, yeah.
But what does that mean exactly? Like, you feel separated from yourself physically somehow.
Yes. So, something that I have been really researching in that regard is embodiment and how sometimes practicing embodiment can get disrupted And you feel disconnected from your body, usually from societal standards placed on the feminine form, constructs of femininity. And I found that I'm really disconnected from my body. So I find that trying to retrieve my body from that place of disconnect by kind of doing an autopsy of my body is the process that I go through. I know that that probably doesn't answer your question, but like body without organs is a theory that I'm looking into, and it really talks about the disorganized body, like the self-harm body, and how that is kind of embracing your body for the faults that it has. So just kind of like accepting that there could be a desire for, you know, like dismantling the body, but also wanting to rebuild it in a tender and loving way.
So getting past looking at yourself with all the garbage that we're all putting on ourselves and putting on our children. And commercials, the whole machine is putting on us to improve ourselves. How is it different than improving ourselves through the machine? What does it mean to put it back together in a tender way versus going to the gym and getting in shape? You know what I mean?
So putting it back in a tender way is kind of accepting the imperfectness of your body instead of trying to fix it. Going, like, for example, if going to the gym is the way that you want to fix your body, you know, air quotes, fix, you need to really think of how to do that in a caring way that's not trying to uphold these systems of authority and constructs. And I think that's what the important part is, and just kind of like, because even if you do like get fit and toned, you may not look like the ideal anyway. So it's better to go through a more caring route to become one with your body.
And so you mentioned that there's a theory, there's a public theory, the body without, that's a body with organs. Is that a writing, or what is that?
So it's Body Without Organs, and it is by Deleuze and Guattari. It's kind of a heavy, dense affect theory based thing.
Those guys.
Yes, yeah, those guys. Eye roll. I know. But it has been like a very kind of liberating reading once you finally, like, you know, get down into it and try to dissect the reading yourself and try to understand it.
Yeah.
It's essentially just saying that having, taking power and having a body that isn't perfect, because the only perfect body would be a body without organs. So like taking power and having this body that's not perfect is a way to like oppose these systemic structures, you know, based on women and feminized people. And
so how did that happen? Were you painting about some of these themes and then you discovered, like, in a class? Or did someone tell you, oh, you'd be interested in this? How did you get to this place?
Yeah, so from the very beginning of, like, my academic career when I was at community college, my work, when I was able to have, like, full authorship of what I was doing, the body and emotions kept coming up, and I never really knew what that was about. It wasn't until Knox College during my undergrad where I kind of found a place for me to nestle into and start exploring. But Body Without Organs specifically didn't really happen until my first year of graduate school at Illinois State. And it was a fellow colleague in the program. They had just told me, like, hey, I think from what I've seen in your work, it's really, it makes me feel, like, very affective, like, they were just talking about how looking at the work reminded them of affect theory and somatophobia, which somatophobia is like the phobia of having a body and embodiment. So they had just recommended Body Without Organs because it kind of falls into that subset.
Yeah. Interesting. I come into this room. This is maybe just a slight aside from what you just said, or tangent. I come into the room and I'm struck by intense, vibrant color, sensuous mark. I think it's beautiful. And then I start looking at them more, and I'm like, I'm getting a little freaked out. What am I seeing there? Is that what, multiple people? Is it one person? You know, and then you start to build this narrative of the imagery that you maybe see. And then I'm hearing you talk about these things, and I think, is the color part of the tenderness? Is the color part of the trauma? Is the color kind of defining both? Is there meant to be this kind of ambiguity of what's sensuous and beautiful and what's disturbing and painful, I guess?
Yes, exactly. So, just to be flat out, that is correct. I really love embodying, like, this moment of beauty and, what is the word? Lustrous isn't it, but I do like to choose lustrous colors to kind of give that sense of beauty with it. But I also like to almost overwhelm you with the color. So, like, the yellow one, for example. When I first look at it, I see, like, a very nice color palette. I would call it a gorgeous color palette. And then the more I look at it, the more it starts to make me feel a little sick because it's such an intense color palette that if you keep looking at it, it just becomes overwhelming. I really like kind of playing with that tension and duality of, like, beauty and grotesque. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like that these pieces right now are still in the breaking apart phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you think the putting back together with tenderness is still to come or starting to happen?
Yeah,
or?
I think that's starting to happen. I'm still trying to figure out how I want to portray that. I have made a couple new pieces that are more figurative. Like, the body is more fully there, but it doesn't feel quite right. I think the realm of the body still being fragmented in a way is kind of where I might end up staying. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to explore there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, these do feel like a foundation for something that can go on for quite some time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the place where they are is very tenuous. Mm-hmm. It's like, right, it's a tightrope right now.
Yes.
It could go one way or the other at times and go back the other way, but they sort of feel in between. They're in between type paintings. Well, I don't want to keep this going. Please, anyone that has questions, if anyone has any thoughts or about what we've talked about, or you just bring your own questions, feel free. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
I'm curious about size. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with really large works here. And is it important for you to have size to convey what you're trying to explore versus something more like a parlor painting?
Yes.
I'm just curious, why are you using such absolutely amazing large canvases?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so scale is definitely a part of it. The main basis for that is it allows me to get these body movements in that a smaller canvas sometimes doesn't. Because when I start these large ones, the marks that I make are quite literally like full body movements to get the mark in. So that's really important. And the reason that those full body movements are so important to me is because sometimes the emotional feelings that I get when I'm working on them just feel so, they feel like they can't be contained in a smaller surface. So I just like to start large and let them roam how they want.
Is it the scale allows it to be a field that you can kind of play in versus an object, an image that you're going to make?
Exactly.
It, past the point of you being able to see it as a contained image, is kind of
exactly. I have tried to work a little smaller, and it just feels way too contained. And like you said, it kind of feels like an object when I get too small, whereas these really feel like a playground for me, like a place to play. And, I like to call it gush painting, just kind of like let everything out as I'm going and not have to worry about the space.
Interesting. Does that play out on the surface in terms of the mark? You see it as a surface, and then you kind of have to step back and see it more as the full field? Or, I mean, talk a little bit about seeing it as a painter making a space and seeing it as a surface to let that feeling occur.
Yeah, so when I start with a white canvas, it definitely feels like a flat surface for me. But I think the automatic process helps me break that up and start seeing, like, the dimensional depth in the painting that's possible, especially when shapes and the line quality come in. That's when I can kind of start pushing that Z-axis of depth and really make it feel like a space rather than, like, a flat surface.
When does it resolve for you as an individual object then?
For me, when I'm painting, I can usually tell when, I mean, I honestly don't think any painting can be fully resolved, but I get to a point where I over-resolve and it feels too completed. So like, and by too completed, I mean, it feels a little suffocating. Like, there's not a lot of space for you to breathe and move throughout it. So when I get to that point where I add something and I'm like, oh, that feels like a little too suffocating, a little too, like, blocked in, that's usually when I'll, like, step back and leave it how it is. Because I feel like that's kind of a volatile state that it gets into, which is, it can be fun to explore, but, yeah.
What else? Questions, thoughts?
Like, would you say that you enjoy the journey more than the end product?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What's your favorite part about the painting process?
Yeah, so that is a really good question, actually. I was going to say the very beginning, like breaking that perfect surface. That's honestly one of the more frustrating states for me. Because that's the first stages of a painting can get really uncomfortable. Like, I'll get a little irritated with them. But that's usually, like, a good sign if you get a little uncomfortable with the painting. And usually means you're about to hit that resolve point or that area to resolve it. So, yeah, I think I would actually say breaking up that perfect white surface is probably the funnest part for me. So right now I've really got myself to slow down. I don't want to say old because they're only like barely a year old, but like the red painting over here and in the very back, I got those done in maybe like a week. But these two largest ones, I build my braces myself. So I kind of, in my stretcher bars and braces, of course. So I kind of include that. But these two probably took me, like that yellow one especially, took me like 2 months, I think. Because I just, like, I was fighting with it a lot. And I was trying to get to a point where I was layering more paint and trying to focus on more dimensional depth. I'm trying
do
to...
Do you feel like you conquered more with the ones that took longer?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I'm very proud of those.
You might have mentioned this earlier before, but just in regards to the colors, is there any particular, like, what makes you choose, like, one color over the other, like, whenever you start painting? You might have mentioned that before. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So when I start a painting, I definitely think about the more bodily colors. So, like, I think of my skin tone, I think of blood, I think of fatty tissue, I think of bruises. Bruises, like the color of bruises have been so fascinating to me and like how they change. I kind of try to think of more bodily colors to use. And then when I get to like further states of the painting, that's kind of when like the formal aspects will come in. I'll start making more like technical choices, like what color will clash, what color will go with this. And sometimes you can choose colors that intentionally clash, but yeah.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
First one would be, as we look at this, these bodies kind of slowly pull out from a space that initially seems to be just kind of fluid. Are you using life models? tools? Are you using your mind? Are you using references? Like, how are you developing these? Because some of them seem very, like, built off of a structure of a body, and some of them don't seem to be like that.
Yeah, so I kind of, that's a really good question, thank you. But yeah, I kind of bounce between. I don't use life models. I mostly use my own body because it is such like an intimate process for me. So I often use my own body, and what that can consist of is either using a mirror and like trying to paint in these crazy poses, or taking pictures of the pose that I'm struggling with. Sometimes the poses I'll just take a picture because I can't figure out how to like make it look structurally like a body. So that's when I'll kind of refer to pictures and like the perspectives on it. But a lot of times what I like to do is have like one area that is like a really nice figure or body, and then everything else is kind of just from my mind. Because I really like when you're not looking at a body or a picture of it, how your perception of space kind of warps, and that messes with the space of the painting, and it kind of confuses you on like what's happening. Like, some of the perspective is wonky in my work, and I love when that happens because it kind of like flips the space on me when I do it.
Yeah. Question number two.
Oh yeah, question number two, which might be a question number three, but I also show up. There also seems to be like structural elements in there. So mm-hmm. like I see it like on the one directly behind you, like I see like a tower, and over here I see a wall, or like a not a wall, but maybe like a corner mm-hmm. of a space. And so I was just wondering how you were dealing with space as place mm-hmm. versus body as you.
That's another...
Or maybe that's, I'm reading too much into it.
No, that's, yeah, that's a really, I love that question. Thank you. So there was a point when I was painting where I really wasn't thinking about the environment that the figures were in. It's only now recently that I've kind of started to dabble in that and really think about it. Like the yellow one, for example, you're probably seeing a corner of the room because I'm actually starting to think about the structure of the environment that they're in. But I try not to put too much thought into it, just because I haven't really put my finger on why I don't want the environment to be too defined quite yet. But I try to treat the environment like I do the body, so like kind of glimpses of the space moving to make it look like a space but not at the same time. Yeah, usually I'm thinking about intimate spaces when I'm working on these, so like a bedroom.
Experimental drawing. We've been doing automatic drawing.
Ooh,
and drawing
fun.
With pencils on sticks, and they did line drawings.
Yes.
And so they came in here and were just like,
yeah.
Like, it was really great teaching experience. And then today we did gesture drawing.
Yes. Oh my goodness, those are my favorites.
Your paintings really balance the form of paint and abstraction and drawing. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about interesting flux between the two?
Thank you. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely will draw with paint at times. I think that's because with drawing, I am just so in love with the line quality that you can get, like the varying weights of the line and kind of how those can feel fleeting in a way, like confident, but also just like a mark. So I really, when I'm wanting a moment of just like a whisper of something is what I like to call it, or like something that's fleeting. That's kind of usually when I'll use those drawing kind of mark making. And then I like to contrast it with painting just because the tension between them is so fascinating. Like, I keep thinking of these two, but particularly the yellow one, with that fleshy body contrasted with the line quality I can't put it in words, but it's doing something for me that I just adore. I know that didn't answer much, but
it's a hard balance.
Yes, yeah.
This is real random, but they're really musical. Mm-hmm. Do you have any background?
Actually, yeah. I play clarinet for like 7 years, but I've never tied them together. But yeah, I do love listening to music when I paint, though. I feel like that's a necessity for me. Yeah.
Maybe just for all of us as art students thinking about how you literally make the thing, like what size, is it a long bristle brush to get a really long sinuous line?
So I primarily use flat brushes, and they're usually like really big ones. But for really fine lines, I will just use, it's quite small actually. I would say it's probably like a quarter inch, and then not very long, and then I just load it up with paint, and then I kind of work from my shoulder. If anyone's a drawer, if you haven't heard of that, but working from your shoulder is really nice. But yeah,
and just moving the brush, that's creating the different. So the relationship of the line then to the area or the mass of color, you might take that flat and move it all over to make a mass, and then you might take the line to cut an edge, or you might drag it across the mass to create an individual. Like, talk about that back and forth between creating an edge of a form and then just creating a line for the line to have its own sort of life.
Yeah. That's a really good question. I'm trying to think of how to word this, because I think about that a lot. The line quality, when you go into like the more drawing aspect of mark making, it can kind of flatten an area, and I like how it does that. So I guess like when I want to mess with what you're seeing a little bit, like I want you to see this figure, but I also kind of want to disturb and disrupt that. That's when I'll kind of bring in like those sharp line qualities to kind of have this weird tension of a fully formed figure that looks like it has mass, but also this flat edge to it that's
That's like a formal way to get at some of this feeling of disembodiment.
Yes.
Like it starts to feel real, then it flattens, goes, distances itself. Yeah. Interesting. Any other questions? Okay, go ahead.
No.
Sorry.
It's awesome.
I'm going to be very quick, though. You got text over here.
Good question.
What's the importance of the text in that spot? It's a thing that, like, it just hit me immediately. And I was looking, and I may have missed it in behind me, but, like, that's hitting hard. Like, how do you see text versus image and their roles together?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. That's actually something I'm really wrestling with right now. Like, I have a new one that started in my studio, and I have text in it again, but I'm starting to kind of vary it a little bit. The main thing that I always say when I add text is it usually happens in the spur of the moment, because this is such like a... What's the word? It's just such like an innate process for me when I'm painting. But sometimes if there's like a phrase that sticks out and it won't get out of my head, that's when I'll just like scribble it onto the canvas. But sometimes they are like a little too intimate for my comfort when it goes into the public. So then I'll kind of start disrupting the text a little bit. But I kind of like the ghost image that's left from that disruption and that disturbance.
The other bit, I mean, this seems, in the best way possible of saying it, almost like an orgy.
I've gotten that before.
It is just a bunch of bodies rallying together with each other. And that might be all your bodies, and it might be just your bodies, like, rallying with your bodies, which means your bodies. And these are definitely more, I don't don't want to say violent, but they're more visceral.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start to get into the world of, you know, even looking at this, we've got primaries.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm mainly looking at these three right now of, you know, blood and bile and black bile and, like, these seem like stripping away. To me, this seems like giving away.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in any way, like, was that part of it? And also a little bit because of the text, too, to
yeah.
be honest. Like, the text seems vulnerable. The color variation seems vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And these definitely seem to be more, like, forced. Mm-hmm. Not forced from you, but, like, tearing away.
Yes.
That
yeah.
fit with the parameters of what you are dealing with in this body of work?
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to put it. These two red ones, like especially that one and the one in the very back, those ones were definitely more violent to me and like a little more aggressive. And like, so it's very interesting because the timeline of these would be the red one in the back, that red one, this one, then the yellow. I found that I'm kind of trying, I don't want to say trying to move away from the aggression towards my body, but like really starting to bring in that tenderness that these two newer ones have. And I think that comes with like, I don't want to say offering myself because it sounds a little not what I'm trying to do, but like I'm putting myself out there for people to see. Whereas these ones were really contemplating by myself, for myself.
I'd love to, I'm glad you asked that question because that really helps me put these in context.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we need to see them in the timeline, but I really think that's helpful to feel a little bit of that development, make sense of that development.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if we could go back a little further and talk about the community college to undergrad to grad school and talk about the development of this theme. Because I know that that piece that I saw at the Civic Arts Center was similar theme, right? Maybe
yeah.
more narratively constructed, maybe more illustrated than embodied, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a similar theme, and I know I saw some other work that was sort of in between, like you were breaking the frame, you had like collage
yep.
things that were kind of breaking out, and so I've seen some of this development over time, but I'm just kind of curious if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about how that process developed through those different school scenarios, like
yeah. So I kind of already talked about community college, but I went to Carl Sandburg College, and that was really for like gen eds. So the assignments there were very directed, and I hadn't really thought about the direction that I wanted to go until I got to Knox College. When I did have authorship at Sandburg to like make whatever I wanted, however I wanted, about anything that I wanted. The first one I did was just like my nude body, and it was a very like more naturalistic, realistic painting of it. And then I got to Knox College with this idea of, okay, I want to do something with my body, but I'm not exactly sure what. And they kind of helped me foster this direction that I was going in, which essentially led into feminist ideals and theories, which really kind of sparked something for me, particularly Frances Borzello's The Naked Nude. I got assigned that reading, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is really fascinating to me. And if anyone's not familiar with The Naked Nude, I'll just give you, like, a quick rundown of it. It's essentially about, like, how women's bodies in art history was objectified and how you're using your naked body and your own work to kind of reclaim autonomy on your body. And that's kind of when everything clicked for me. And I was still doing very, I would call it narrative work. Again, very realistic, well, realistic air quotes, but more narrative. I was telling a story about how I was feeling, and I finally got to a point where that felt a little too suffocating. It wasn't doing what I wanted. And what I wanted the work to do was to provide an experience for when you look at it instead of telling a story. So I remember this moment so vividly because I was so headstrong on always being like a naturalistic painter and not wanting to go into abstraction. And my professors kept pushing me like, you know, like, just try abstraction. Like, why do you need why do you need this to be so narrative? And I was like, because I don't like abstraction and blah, blah, blah. Like, what? I feel like that's very typical for young artists. Mm-hmm, but I was in my studio, and back then I even started with, like, the line drawings with painting. And I remember just this moment of, like, something, it felt like something broke in my brain because I saw, like, the scribbly lines of the drawing. And I was like, that is kind of what I want this painting to do. Like, this is giving me an experience. And I was having an existential crisis because I was so against abstraction back then. For me to be going directly into abstraction right after saying that, like, I'm pretty sure it was 2 weeks after that. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be like, my professors are going to be like, I told you so. But yeah, so yeah, Knox really kind of helped me foster this delve into abstraction and like this really good space to play with them. And then the first year of grad school, that's kind of like when all the additional research material happened. And now I'm like, I'm feeling really good with where I'm at and all of these theories that I'm reading and just the more in-depth things that I'm thinking about, like how materiality is very metaphorical. So like, how can I work with, you know, material? Like that yellow painting has dirt in it and this one has blood in it. So like, what are these metaphorical things that I can play with? Yes. So yeah, that's kind of how I ended up here.
That's great. That's such a great evolution. Looking back, do you have a sense of why you would have had that strong feeling? Not necessarily against abstraction. We all have a strong feeling against abstraction before we understand abstraction. But they had such a strong feeling that you had to be a representational painter. What do you think? What do you think drove that?
For me,
yeah,
to be like in that space that I was.
Yeah, to say I need to be, I am a figurative painter. I'm not an abstract painter. Like, what led to that? Almost like a political statement.
Yeah, that's an awesome, I really like that question. I think back then, I was just a little irritated with, I don't know how to say this properly, but I remember seeing a lot of art that was about the body or something, and it was just, it was mark making, you know, like what I'm doing now. And I just remember having, like, this angry feeling of like, if you're painting a body and you're trying to have empowerment with your body, why are you not just painting your body how it looks? And that was how I worked in Knox for a long time until I finally realized that you don't necessarily have to paint your body exactly how it is to kind of take off with that and make work that's empowering, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. What else? Any other questions? No? Okay, well, we are at 38 minutes, so we've gone a little over, but we appreciate it. Madeline, thank you.
Thanks.
This has been Q&A from the Kadich and Morrissey Galleries at St. Ambrose University. We hope you've enjoyed this program. All rights reserved, 2023.